Welcome, everyone, to Two Dads Talking. This is episode number 22. We are unfortunately not completely caught up yet, but we're trying to get these things edited. And once we get more current-ish, you will be getting episodes that are a hair more current-ish. We'll say this on the back end, too, just because we were late to promoting that party. But don't forget to like us, follow us, review us, and just basically tell your friends about us. We are, as Tom previously mentioned, we do want this thing to keep growing, have this turn into a real sort of dad and just generally non-dad parent support group, see if we can just shake things up and do a little bit good in the world. So getting the reviews, getting the likes gets more exposure and helps us start doing some of that. So please do that.
Yeah, what he said. Thanks for listening. We're 20, he just told me and I've already forgotten, 21 episodes in?
Yeah, I'm sure. It's fine.
We're 21 episodes in. It's kind of nice that, you know, people are actually listening to the show and people are talking to me about the show. I'm getting a lot of actually interesting discussion based on our show. So I know people are listening. Mostly people I know who it's fun conversations and it's interesting insights. I've gotten a couple of less than positive comments.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay. What? Like what? I want to hear this. I want to hear it.
I had someone tell me they didn't realize I was such a hardcore conservative. And I was kind of stunned. They walked away with that. And I said, Dad, I really don't know why you think I'm a hard right conservative here. I don't feel that I am. What part of the show, you know, made you think that? Like, what was it that convinced you? And she said, oh, it's just everything you say. And clearly, and she just kind of went off on me. And this is someone I know relatively well. And just, I did not see it coming. It was a curveball. I thought we were having a nice, pleasant conversation. And by the time we were done, the last thing she said to me was, I'll bet you're probably voting for Trump too, aren't you? You know what? I'm sorry. You didn't deserve that. You're a very nice young man. We came around all the way here.
I was going to say, it's like Target. It has everything you could want.
Yeah. It was some interesting feedback. I wasn't quite ready for it.
I'm sorry. I have a question. Are you sure? You should have had her play a clip where you said something conservative to make sure it wasn't me.
That's a good point.
I'm like, yeah, this is when you said this, you son of a bitch. And you're like, oh, that's Doug.
Yeah, it's not me. Sorry.
I will. And unfortunately, for you listeners out there that don't like hardcore conservative Tom, it's probably actually me. It's probably actually hardcore conservative Doug.
Yeah, I'm very hard right on some things. Like the things that I agree with the conservatives, I'm very dedicated and hard right on. But
that stuff like defense and what, like infrastructure, maybe, like, you know, like
small government,
like highways and stuff like that. But socially, you're pretty unconservative.
Yeah, socially, I'm pretty liberal to a point. I think where we are with the whole trans debate right now is
that's something only a conservative would say.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess I'll be a conservative today. I heard a story about what is allegedly the same school my kids go to, and I haven't verified it yet. But if what I heard was true, I'm really over it and really irritated by it. I won't comment that until I've verified that, but that may be something we talk about next week. But I watched a video about a Massachusetts biological male playing on a women's basketball team who injured three girls playing basketball, and they had to stop the game. And I had two thoughts about it right away. I was like, one, we should not be allowing this. This is ridiculous. I cannot believe we've let it go this far. And two, why would you stop the game? Why don't you put the kid on the bench and let the girls finish the game and play the game? Why are we catering to the person who's taking advantage of the rules and actually hurting? And that led me to an interesting discussion with my wife, where maybe this is what we wound up talking about tonight instead of what I wanted to talk about.
Oh, it's going to happen already. I can feel it.
Yeah, this is our rabbit hole today. We are catering to the wrong freaking people in America today. And I don't know if this is an international thing or if it's just us, but we are absolutely bending over for the wrong people. And that's my take.
Okay, well, that was a pretty shallow rabbit hole.
I can go further. It just looked like you had something you wanted to say.
Well, so I did see that. I did not, admittedly, I didn't dig into all the articles and get all the spiel of everything, but I thought the reason that they had to forfeit Or that the reason that they stopped the game, they forfeited, was because they didn't have enough players anymore on the team where all the injuries happened. I think they only had like the four or five players, was what I thought I saw, like, kind of in a cursory passing. So
that would make more sense.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we can get the fun buildup out of the way. I mean, I'm in the same camp of we should not be catering to this. I mean, okay, so I have all the same initial views of, you know, we shouldn't be doing this, we shouldn't be catering to this, and even though we shouldn't be picking out any particular minority of any population ostracizing them, we shouldn't be doing that to anybody. There is something to be said for not bending over to certain, like, minority groups. I'm using minority not to mean any sort of like race or ethnic background. I mean just less than half or less than others. That it just, like, in my mind, if I move to Mexico, it makes no sense for Mexico to like change their national language for me, for like the 5% of white people that move down there. To me, that makes no sense. I feel like if I'm the one coming to a country that I'm not from, it's up to me to learn some of the customs, learn some of the language, or at the very least, if I'm obviously not getting it, to kind of disclose on the front end, you can make fun of me all you want, I'm one of those stupid Americans, but, you know, I'm one of those stupid Americans, so like understand what you're getting here. So this whole pretending that they can join the women's teams, there is something to be said that most of these cases and news stories are always a trans woman. There are very few trans men making headlines for bad reasons. And the couple of ones that did disappear pretty quickly, like a certain Christian school shooting, which we probably shouldn't get into that at this point. It's kind of long gone from a current news perspective. I'll pass the mic back to Tom here, just because he initially gave it up here. I want to see how far down this rabbit hole goes, particularly because in addition to all the usual, I guess you could call them the cliche arguments that you hear from each side, I have a slightly different, more, I guess, wholesome reason, if you will, behind not allowing this to happen.
Yeah, actually, you kind of ducked your way into the hole I wanted to dive down today when you mentioned the Christian school shooting that's kind of fallen off the radar. But this one for me is, I don't even know how to get into it. I really don't know how to bring it up. I feel like I'm constantly seeing, I like to watch a lot of people debate. I watch arguments. I watch both sides of everything. I try to anyway. And when I see debates on this matter, there's a couple of thoughts that pop into my head. One is that gender dysphoria is a very real thing. Like it's in the DSM, it's a real thing. It's been identified as a problem. It causes depression and anxiety and sometimes suicide attempts. And it can make it really hard for someone to live their best life and just be joyful. And it sucks. Like gender dysphoria is a real psychological thing. And I don't think we should turn our back on that. But I also believe that about 90 or 95% of the people who are bringing this topic into the news are just being exploitive, and they're just taking advantage of a loophole, and they don't suffer from gender dysphoria. I'm sorry, I don't believe it's that common. And I'm really, really irritated with the sense that we have in America of, if you disagree with this, you're a blank. Fill in any word you want. It's an ad hominem argument that is used in this situation and in our political discourse. And if you don't agree with someone who is a minority or a protected class or something that is a hot cultural topic of debate, if you don't automatically agree with the position that favors them, you are labeled as something vilifying. You can call it an a-hole. You can call it a racist. You can call it whatever.
Bigot is my favorite.
Bigot. Yeah. I saw a lot of this with law enforcement when I was in police department and thereafter. If you dared to say, hey, I want to wait until I have all the facts on this and make a decision after I see more information about this, I don't want to take it for the media headline, people jump down your throat and they called you all kinds of names. And I do not understand how we've gotten to a point in America where someone wanting to have more information and being more informed before making a decision makes them an asshole. But that's where we are. And I'm sick of it. I really am fed up with it. And the debates I see on these things are not actual debates. They're shouting matches where nobody can have a real conversation and a real talk. No one's trying to get to the 11th week if we want to go there. No one's even trying. There's no effort to come together on common ground. There's no effort to try to get an understanding of what the other side is coming from. It's just, oh, you don't agree with me? You're an evil son of a bitch. Oh, I'm an evil son of a bitch? Well, you're a stupid a-hole. That's just where our debate has gone with this. And I don't care for CNN generally, but I had it on this morning. We don't have cable. We cut the cord a while ago, so we have streaming services, and I get news from whatever's available, and I try to mix it up. And this morning I had CNN on, and there were two people on CNN who, you know, apparently did not agree on anything politically a year and a half ago. And they were talking about how they've come to ground on a lot of things. They've still got a couple of disagreements, but they've actually come to see that they have a lot in common, and they've got a lot of different points of views that they should have been discussing in a more diplomatic way with each other. And that when they finally did, someone sat them down and made them debate this and made them talk about it. Some minds were changed and some positions shifted, and there was some, you know, some positions just softened, but they found out they actually had a lot of common ground. And it made me think of that episode that we talked about again and getting to week 11. They still disagreed in a lot of fundamental stuff, but they learned how to talk to each other. And now they're traveling and they're speaking together at college campuses. And I want to say it was actually called Dad's Talking. It wasn't Dad's Talking Politics. I'll have to look it up and we'll find it. Put a link in the notes.
We should sue them. They stole our idea.
Well, yeah, I think they probably did it before us. And they've got CNN backing them and funding them, so I'm sure they're doing it better.
It was their idea.
Yeah, we should apologize.
We should apologize. Dear CNN folks, we're sorry.
I'm just really sick of, you know, you're not allowed to debate things reasonably, and you're not allowed to want to have a discussion on these things, and you get vilified. You know, there are all these different styles for arguing and debating. There are actual Latin name styles for all of these things. And if you ever took a debate course, you learned them. Ad hominem is the only one that is ever used anymore. It's the attack against the person. There's never any debate on the point. There's never any show me your receipts. There's never any why do you feel that way or give me an example. It makes no sense to me. And that's where we are. And I feel like this transgender movement that we have right now is the same thing. And it's front and center on the stage. And we've got schools, middle schools and elementary schools and high schools, where they're afraid to tell boys that they can't walk into a bathroom, a girl's bathroom, and do what they want because they don't want to be in trouble and be sued and be seen as, you know, some transphobic organization. But there are schools, public schools, where they've said kids can change their mind on a daily basis as to how they identify and go into whatever bathroom they want. And let's be realistic. If I'm a 12-year-old boy, 14-year-old boy, and I've got those hormones driving through my body, and you say, oh, as long as you tell me you're a girl today, you can go in the girl's locker room, you can go in the girl's bathroom. Boys are going to do that because they're horny little devils with very little control, and they want to, that's where they want to be. We're enabling really awful things. And that honestly is probably the most innocent level at which this is playing out. We're seeing it in sports. We're seeing it in combatives. We're seeing it with people who don't need to be around little children at all, but especially don't need to have access to little children's bathrooms of the opposite biological gender. And because we are so afraid of being labeled transphobic and so afraid of being labeled an a-hole by some ad hominem attack, we let it go. And we let this stuff happen. And it's clearly does not compare at all to the Holocaust and what happened in World War II, but it reminds me a great deal of that poem. And I don't have it down. It's not something I've got memorized, but essentially, you know, I watched them take the Jews, and then I watched them take the Poles, and then I watched them take my neighbors. And then when they came for me, there was no one left to stand up for me. This feels like that. We're all just standing by and watching things go down this slope, and the slope's getting steep. And we're going to hit a point of no return where we do some real damage. And to bring this back to one of our previous conversations, if the aliens are watching this nonsense, they are going to want no friggin' part of us. All that sweet alien technology is not coming to Earth because we are all kinds of messed up right now.
Actually, they're probably thinking, we got to get the mosquitoes out of there. Those poor buggers are stuck in all this.
I'd be okay with that. Go ahead and get those mosquitoes out of here. Yeah, this has been one Tom talking. Apologize for that one.
Well, luckily there's only one Tom on all of this. Otherwise, we would have two ultra conservatives. Okay, so if you're still listening.
Oh, we've been canceled.
Oh, no, I'm just talking to the young lady that called you a Trump supporter, a Trump voter.
I don't think she'll be upset if I say this. Young is the wrong term. She got upset when I called her Miss. She got really upset. She's older than me by a fair amount. And she got really upset when I called her Miss.
Miss is angry at Tom person. Then I'm addressing you directly since you're totally listening to us right now. You were probably listening to me, first of all. That would be like, I would wager at least $2 on that you're probably listening to me and not Tom, first of all. Second of all, I'm rather forward, call it the Irish in me. I like a good argument at the very least. And I will tell anybody who listened, like, yes, I voted for Trump the first time around against Hillary. And I, part of my motivation for voting for Trump was exactly what younger me said I would never turn into, which is I wasn't really voting for Trump. I was voting for not Hillary, more so when I made that vote. I did tell people that I thought Trump was so full of himself, such a huge narcissist, that if he won, he might actually do a few good things because he would want to be remembered as the greatest president ever. And in order to do that, you'd have to at least do a lot of, you know, things that people liked. And since he was running on the Republican ticket, I thought, okay, he's going to do a lot of conservative things to try to show how awesome he is. And that being said, especially after his term here, what he's been doing since then, the little bit that I've even bothered to look at, the guy's a freaking lunatic. So he's as narcissistic as ever. He's as full of himself as ever. I mean, we've talked endlessly, almost, it feels like, about how they're all in cahoots with each other in Washington and all that. I can't help thinking that even all of the air quote legal troubles that he's been going through right now, it just feels like it's part of the act somehow. I can't describe it. There are little things on Twitter, on X, when I'm rolling through there, where someone who's definitely in Trump's corner says, this is ridiculous. They're trying to just take him down. This is a banana republic, all the, you know, gotcha terms for why they're trying to attack a political opponent. And then there's a comment from his son, Donald Trump Jr., like right there at the top that says, you know, totally agree. You know, it's some sort of like, yeah, like I'm on your team too. But he's getting some fines, I think, from some of this also. And he shouldn't just be being like, yeah, thanks for your support. He should be like dropping F-bombs and being completely unreasonable and being like, yeah, I can't believe I could tell you so much more, blah, blah, blah. He's so controlled. If it was me, either my attorney would be telling me, don't you post a single fucking thing during all this, or I would be a lot more pissed. And I would make sure a lot more people, especially people who are supposedly fervently supporting me, knew how pissed I was. It feels so manufactured. And I just don't understand. Again, this is purely conjecture. I have nothing to support this. It feels like somehow there's still some wink, wink, nudge, nudge going on here, even with Trump and them through all of this somehow. I just have no idea why. I can't place my finger on it. So where I'm going with this, even I don't really want to vote for Trump. Even if you're going to put Trump against Biden, I might be one of those people that doesn't vote. Or I'll just pick my third party candidate and see how many other people wasted their vote like me. I don't really see why he's any better of an alternative, to be perfectly honest. It's just going to be, I mean, Biden's going to inflate the shit out of us, and Trump is going to just be a whole drama episode again for another 4 years. And it's just going to be unbearable to even bother listening to. So I don't really want either of them, but I'm probably going to get stuck with at least one of them. So
that could be an entire topic for us, because my wife and I talked about this. My mind is blown. We are a country of how many people? What do we have?
The two of them have a combined age of 150 plus, and they're somehow are two front runners right now. That's a flaw. That's our problem. We do shoulder some of the blame for that, for not just being like, no, you're old, go away, please.
Right. My wife and I were just saying this morning that we are shocked that we can't come up in this vast country of highly intelligent and capable people. We cannot come up with two better candidates than this. And it's the same thing we said when it was Trump and Hillary. It is mind-blowing to me that these are the people that are put out to us to pick from. It's unreal. I am shocked. It is the single most disappointing facet of the government to me. And there's a lot that disappoints me about our government. This is the single most disappointing facet of the whole government, is that this is who you tell me our leaders are and the best of us are and the most worthy of leading our country is. This is who you're telling me to trust. Tweedledum or Tweedledumber. And I'm sick of it.
That's a very bold claim. I don't think this is the dumbest. I think the like albino squirrel preserve funds that we have is dumber than this. That will always be my top.
I prefer that to you putting some dipshit narcissist in charge of my country. And you can pick any presidential candidate since I've been old enough to vote. Dipshit narcissist fits. It really seems to be for just about all of them.
Just about all of them.
The last election I voted for, I don't know if it was the Green Party or a Libertarian, but I voted. I couldn't vote for Trump. I couldn't vote for Biden. Yeah, I voted for someone who had no chance because I could not cast a vote for either of these two. I wanted to write Donald Duck on my ballot and vote, like, hand write in Donald Duck. I was that mad.
It would get misread and still go to Trump, so it's a good thing you didn't do that.
Yep, absolutely right.
Yeah. Well, this is a good segue because where I was going to come back to with the whole trans thing was basically the same line of reasoning as this. People are generally emotional, even the people that don't. Like their base personality isn't like the feeler or emotional type. People argue and make decisions and base their ideas a lot in how they feel. I mean, what's that quote? I think it was Maya Angelou, which says, people won't remember what you said, but they'll remember how you made them feel. It's that kind of concept. Most people think they're being rational and making rational, informed decisions, but really they're going with what feels right or what feels good or what makes them feel better or what doesn't make them feel worse. That's really why we have this whole Trump Biden setup, because I mean, I'm the first one to tell you that Trump is a narcissistic a-hole, but he and his campaign the first time around made the most brilliant campaign move in a long time. And all it was saying, make America great again. People don't like to hear that MAGA stuff and they try to claim that's, you know, calling you a hateful person. But to all of those rural country folk, all the other people that were not in the big cities, and there are a lot of them, whether you like it or not, there are a shit ton of those people. They felt like they were just sitting there, not worth anything for 20 years. And then this very loud, very combative guy shows up and says, I want to make you guys great again. That was the first type of like sort of support or encouragement or direct, like, I'm running for you, that these people had felt for a long time. And suddenly they came out of the woodwork. So that is a huge emotional response by those people. So now, and this is why I think Trump is partially in on it. Now they're attacking, like the other people are attacking their hero. And these are your, you can call them hicks or whatever stereotype you want, but these are your gun-toting, good old boy, salt of the earth kind of people. And all they know is looking out for their neighbor, looking out for each other, helping out when you need it, because you can't survive out in places like that unless you do that. So when you're attacking someone who's near and dear to them, you get an emotional response. So that's just what's been carrying this whole thing. That's why a guy like, I mean, I would have probably gone to bat for Ron DeSantis if he made it out of the primaries. You know, I wanted him way more than I wanted Trump, for example. But that's why even a guy who's a successful governor of a big state like Florida just can't get past Trump, because Trump just has too many people just claws are in. You can't unearth them. And every time someone attacks him, it almost gets deeper. So for the first time in your podcast listening history, we're going to equate Trump to the trans movement.
Honestly, given the nature of our rabbit holing, I'm surprised we haven't done that before.
Mm-hmm. Well, so that's where I was going with the trans thing, is all the, you're a bigot, you're a fascist, you don't want people to be true to themselves, all that stuff. It's all an emotional response. And the fear of, even if you don't agree with it, the fear of calling it out is also the emotional response, because you don't want to be ostracized by society or even some members of your own family and all that stuff. Me personally, I have absolutely no problem calling it out. And part of that is being a father of daughters. If I see some dude dressed in a dress going into the bathroom right after my daughter, you bet your ass I'm going right in after him, being like, what are you doing? Get the fuck out. I don't care what you say. If you tell me that I'm impinging on your whatever, I'm like, great, you can use this bathroom. My daughter's not here anymore. And you get out or I'm going to take you out. If I have to knock you unconscious and take you out, I will. The problem for me with that is that now I probably am rightfully getting arrested for assault. And then I have to explain to whoever why they shouldn't hold me here, and I can go back out there and, let's face it, probably do it again if someone else did that. So whenever one of my daughters even talks about going to the bathroom, my head's on a swivel looking to see if there's anybody who even looks like that, because I don't want to get into that confrontation because I know I will not keep my mouth shut. And you know what? That's still really annoying. It feels like it is inhibiting what I want to do with the world. And well, I'll get to where I wanted to end up with now, I guess. The trans thing, which is really touchy-feely and really supportive to call it the trans thing. I should probably be better about that.
Yeah, we'll fix that in post. You're going to put something else in there?
All you trans people. No, not good either. Okay.
Please don't do that. Remember, I'm the one that said gender dysphoria is real. That's Doug right there who's saying this. Don't mix us up, please.
No, we're going to take this out. So people who are trans, let me use Tom's phrase. So gender dysphoria is real. Yes, there are people who suffer from this. And it is important to support those people. I don't want to say get them help per se, but like anybody that has any issues, you want to try to do what you can to support them, because I've mentioned it before, as crass and insensitive as I can be, you're a human. Like if you're a human, you have inherent value. And like I've said before, until you demonstrate that you are not worth that inherent value, we should still be trying to support that. So that's, like kind of our death row talks before. So even though I wholeheartedly 100% disagree with everything that the trans and cross-dressing, whatever kind of movements are, for me, that's one of those boxes of what you do in your own house is none of my business. But the societal contract, like we talked about with that rough collie guy, when you're out in public, when you're out in society, when you're interacting with potentially me and my family, there are expectations. And you know what? Yes, you absolutely should have to follow those expectations, because you know why? I do already. I'm already following some of those expectations myself, and so should you. So I'm not disrespecting you. I'm telling you to respect me. And the thing that really upsets me the most about this, having daughters, is it's not even that I feel like there could be someone who's a potential physical danger to one of my daughters at some point in their lives, even when they're full grown adults. You know, there could still be someone like lurking doing this who's trying to take advantage of the system. It's that it not only waters down, in the case of a trans woman, it not only waters down like feminism, like what it means to be a female, like, oh, I have periods too. No, you don't. I'm sorry, you don't. Stop playing make-believe. Like that minimizes real women, what they have to go through. But also in a way, this sort of minimizes men. And I'm not getting into the toxic masculinity talks with you, but part of being a man, a real man, and I'm getting into some minutia here, but being a real man means respecting women, protecting women, being sort of an arbiter or a security guard for society. And guys, and most of them, for the record, most of them are guys pretending they're women. People who do the trans thing, either way, are disrespecting those roles. It's not that you're supposed to be that role. It's just that that's where we become our best. No one watches the movie about Arnold Schwarzenegger in End of Days deciding to put on a dress at the end of it all and be true to himself. They watch him go through and literally fall on the proverbial sword to save one girl, even though everyone else, including the Cardinals, wanted to offer. People like that stuff. People like seeing the virtue that comes from being a male protector, or being the female, like going through the shit, even when, no one else would. This kind of thing just absolutely minimizes that. And that's what pisses me off. I want my daughters to see a society where they can count on men to protect them so that they can do basically, like, let's face it, women do all the really important shit. If we didn't have women, we wouldn't have electricity wherever we live. We'd be like, it's fine. We're dudes. We can just live in the dark at night. It's fine. But women go, I want that. And for some reason, we're all, okay, well, I'll get it for you, honey. So that's what pisses me off the most. My daughter should expect real men to be there as part of their world when I'm gone. And that's why I get so incensed about it.
I think I disagree with your take on the real men thing.
Recording stopped.
But I agree with a lot of the individual points that you made about it. And that's where I'm having some like dissonance here.
Oh, I'll admit my view is unconventional at best, and I'm sure there's a couple of logical holes you could poke in it, but that's, well, did you listen to me at the end of that? That was my emotional response. So,
and I appreciated that.
There you go. Sorry. Anyway.
What you said in the first half is actually probably my second largest issue with what the trans movement is doing right now. While I worry about physical safety of people, one, not just, you know, my daughters or people in general, but also the people that are being given puberty blockers and are being told that this is okay and that they're having their body chemistry messed with at an age where they're too young to choose to get a tattoo. You can't get a tattoo at 12, but you can go ahead and decide that you're going to take puberty blockers, and something about that's wrong. So that's my chief grievance with this movement, is that it is physically endangering a lot of people who maybe they need some help. Maybe it's just normal when you're a kid to be curious about these things and think these thoughts. And maybe that's actually perfectly normal and you work your way out of it and you're fine. I don't know. But the answer is not to chemically change their body. So that's my number one concern. But my number two grievance with what's happening here is I feel like this is immensely disrespectful to women. I love the videos, because there's about 100 different people doing it now, where they just ask people who are caught up in this, what is a woman? And nobody can give an actual answer. And I got to tell you, my point of view on this has changed dramatically over the last 10 years or so. Not even because I have daughters, but because of what I've seen my wife do as a mother and as a wife and as a woman who is got a career and has worked hard to develop a career in a world that's largely dominated by men. My wife has kicked the world in the ass and worked extremely hard and gotten a doctorate degree and is board certified in pelvic floor therapy and runs a physical therapy clinic now and is the manager there. My wife has done all of this while she has had 3 children, technically 4. We had a miscarriage that was technically... Yeah, well, I won't talk too much about that one, but my wife's been through all of this, and I've seen the changes her body goes through with the pregnancies, and I've seen what happens when her body chemistry changes and the physical pain, and then actually birthing a child and then nursing a child and caring for a child and being a mom and doing all of that while you're still working to kick ass professionally in a field that, again, is currently mostly dominated by men, and finding success. And I look at all of those things that my wife has done and all the challenges that she has had to face to get where she is, that she's overcome. And that to me is what makes her a mom, a woman. That's a part of the challenges that were along the path are part of what defines her and part of what writes her character in the book of her life. You don't get to just say, oh, I'm a woman, treat me like a woman, respect me like a woman. Because frankly, you haven't earned that shit until you've done some of the things and faced some of the challenges that women who've been women their entire lives have dealt with and met head on and overcome. That's like someone telling me, oh, I feel like a soldier. I was in the army for a week and I failed out of boot camp and I'm a veteran, so you have to respect me. I'm sorry. I respect that you were willing to sign that check that says the government can cash my ass in for whatever they want. I respect that you were willing to volunteer. But you don't get to demand respect from me if you never actually did anything. And I feel the same way about one guy here locally that I know who was in the police department. I think he was in Massachusetts. And literally he went through the academy and he stayed in the academy for as long as he was getting a stipend. And then when he was done, he graduated, but was like, yeah, I don't really want to be a cop. I'm not going to do it. He was literally doing it so he could get paid for training and pay to go to school. And now he does something very different. And he had never had any interest in following through with it. But he loves to tell people, I'm a former law enforcement officer. I am just a former police officer. I'm like, no, motherfucker, that's stolen valor. That's not what that is. And that's how I feel with a lot of these people who are like, I'm a woman, respect me like a woman. That feels like stolen valor to me because I have seen what my wife has done and gone through. I have seen what my mother has gone through. I have seen what a lot of our friends have gone through. And you don't get to just demand that same credit if you haven't put in the work. And that part really pisses me off about this whole thing. I don't feel that way about trans men so much, and maybe I should. That's part of your conversation that was really interesting to me.
But I just went to surplus world, so I have all the same stuff that soldiers have. I'm basically the same.
Yeah, basically the same.
I'll double down on my end on that too. You will never earn that from what is a woman, what it takes to be a woman.
Yeah. I feel that way as a dad. You know, it's being a dad is hard in a lot of ways, in a lot of ways that are unique and different from being a mom. And in some ways, it's probably harder, you know, in some ways. But in 85 to 90% of the ways defining what is hard about being a parent, moms and women have it harder than we do. I really believe that. Where they get the benefit of the doubt is that society recognizes them as a parent and it sees them as a parent. And they get that sort of that credit in advance. They're vouched for already by cultural norms. That, I think, is the one thing they have easier than us. Other than that, they do all the hard stuff. They bring the baby into the world. They deal with changes, physical changes to their body and chemical changes to their body. They deal with mental health issues that come along with all that, both during the pregnancy and postpartum. There is so much that goes on there that, yeah, they've got it hard. And you don't get to just tell me you're a woman and demand I respect that, because I'm sorry. If you haven't walked that plank and come out the other side and swam with the sharks and pulled your ass out of the water and said, I'm still here, you don't get to be a mom like that. You don't get to be a woman like that. I just don't see it.
Well, that's fine. I love your soapbox. Me and my wife have been, there's been a lot of talks recently with having the young lad around. One of the, and I actually just mentioned this earlier today, I think I said earlier on another episode, I'm really bad with time travel. So this could have been 3 weeks ago, but I think it was this morning. There was another G.K. Chesterton quote that I'll paraphrase. I can't remember it exactly, but it always, when I was younger, it confused the hell out of me because it didn't really make logical sense. It said, for something to be able to feel love, it must first be loved when it is unlovable. And okay, that's a lot of mumbo jumbo. And I was like, okay, that makes no sense because, you know, logically, if it's unlovable, it can't be loved and blah, blah, blah. He was talking about the family and explicitly motherhood, because I think it was talking about the development of youths into adults was kind of his context from it. And like you said, Tom, it's not just the childbirth and, you know, breastfeeding and caring for the child and all of that stuff. It's the changes in the body, the carrying the child the whole way. And then dealing with me being like, which cabinet does this dish go into? Like that would piss me off through all of it anyway.
It is the same dish every time you ask the question.
Every time. I know you've told me this before, but.
Yeah, dads get pregnancy brain too, I guess, or at least some version of it.
Mine is permanent, and that sucker's not coming out. but when that child shows up, mom loves him or her, loves them. And pardon me, in my case, young sir, but you ain't done shit yet. You just came out and pooed yourself and cried, and you don't even know how to eat yet. You're unlovable to a like cold third party rational person. You can't do anything. But mom says, you know what? I love you anyway. And then dads, when you stick around and kiddo starts seeing the world and figuring out who to trust and who not to trust, eventually dad is the reason you stay out of jail. Literally, all the data says so, because then when you're realizing, oh, mom loves me, I can start to do other stuff and show who I am. Dad goes, no, you're still an idiot. Let me show you how to not get yourself in trouble. So that's where dads come in. But man, mom's just, it is a cliche, but it really is indescribable watching what my wife has done. She can handle all three of our children better than I can handle the two older ones who can like already wipe their butts. So
truer words were never spoken.
I can't even, I legitimately do not know how she does it, because I fancy myself at least a halfway capable person, and she just runs circles around me every day of the week on this stuff, and still tells me every time without stabbing me where that dish goes. So
I'm glad she doesn't stab you. I'd miss you.
Well,
at least until I found a replacement co-host, I'd miss you.
I was about to say, if she stabs me, I'd probably deserve it.
I'd still miss you even if you deserved it.
It's fine. Just understand that I deserve it.
You said something that was very Henry Spencer from Psych. I know we talked about that show once before.
That's his dad, right?
Yeah, it's his dad. Yeah. There's a scene where he lets Sean, the main character, borrow his metal detector, and they're out looking for, I think it was a pocket watch that he gave him for his birthday. And And Sean says something to his dad, like, "You know what? My birthday was a month and a half ago. You gave me that gift way too late. It wasn't even my actual birthday. Get off my case." And his dad says to him, "Son, it took you 6 weeks to smile at me. That's when the clock started counting. That's when the clock started." It's kind of in line with what you just said. It's pretty
Yeah.
nice. So I've got some updates on some previous podcasts. Just one really that's kind of important to me. I
Okay.
have a friend who I don't think she'll mind if I share her name. Her name is Tam. She recently lost someone under really unfortunate circumstances. He was a veteran, and she reached out to me to kind of, check in with me and make sure I was doing better, that I was doing okay, that I was well, and that there was, no imminent threat of me leaving this earth anytime soon. But she just, it made her think of me, and she reached out. She's an absolute sweetheart. Her and her guy, Anthony, are just amazing people, and I really like them both. But she reached out, and she was struggling with this, and we found time to go hang out. They play a lot of poker, and so that's kind of how I got to know her in the first place. So I went up to Foxwoods Casino and met her for dinner yesterday. And she wasn't aware of the podcast. She didn't know we had one. And she was so happy to hear that there was a podcast. And I warned her, like, "You're going to see me in a different light after you listen to this podcast. You're going to see a side of me you probably haven't seen before." And so far, she seems okay with that. But we were going to go to the Players Lounge at one point. And instead, just decided to go to the new Wahlburgers that opened up at Foxwoods and just sit down and have a sandwich. I'm on a very tight calorie budget. I'm trying to get back into shape. I'm trying to get healthy. And I was like, I don't want to go to the lounge. 15 pounds, by the way, in 20 days. It's coming off at a nice rate. I'm pretty pleased. But we went and got a sandwich, and she ordered a burger. And we started talking about Doug the psychopath and how he eats his cheeseburgers. And about how the one time I tried to do it after our conversation and what my takeaway was.
You actually tried it.
I tried it, and I gotta say, I'm not a fan. When you eat the outside of the bun away and leave yourself that quote perfect center bite for your last bite, that is messy. The edges of that burger bun hold things in. You need those to keep the mess from getting too bad. You are absolutely a sociopath, my friend. To bring that on yourself, it's
Well,
crazy to me.
the first time your kid tried to pour their glass of milk, they spilled it, right?
Yes.
I mean, you just need more practice.
Nope. I'm good with eating a burger like a normal human being. For once, I'm perfectly fine with being normal and just enjoying the beauty that is a burger.
Well, you can just
Actually,
leave it to the professionals then.
we didn't do a top five or a top three today either. So maybe we do top five foods, and I'll just give you a spoiler. A good cheeseburger is on my top five foods. But
Okay.
yeah, so she tried, and then she tried to take some bites the Doug way. Because the first
The
episode
Doug
after I
way.
told her about the podcast, she just loaded the most current episode, and that was that one. And she tried a little bit, but she aborted the plan pretty quickly and just ate the cheeseburger normally. And we've just agreed that yes, you are a psychopath, and that's the wrong way to eat a cheeseburger. So
Well, this island, it does feel pretty small.
Cheeseburger Island.
Only one person can be at the top. I have big hands. I'm not sure what else I can say in my defense here.
You've got beef with all the normies. But yeah, so there's
That
an
was a good
update.
segue to one of my dad joke considerations tonight.
See, all my dad jokes are about this Alabama embryo ruling. Like, I had a couple, and they're all tied to that. So I'm off subject today, but I can use it as a teaser for next week if we're going to talk about that next week. So it's
Yeah, we could
actually
probably
just a
do that.
teaser.
Okay.
And I don't know if I mentioned the coworker who had not seen Shawshank. I don't know if I told you, but he went out and bought it, and he watched it. We talked about him back in like episode three, I think. And he watched it and he loved it. So he's still on my good people list. I don't have to take him out of that book. I get to keep him there. So I'm happy. It's good stuff. Those are my
Good.
updates. That's all I've got.
Yeah, that's all your updates.
Yeah,
Let's
do you want
try.
to do top five foods? Is
Let's
there
try
something
top
else you want
five
to do?
foods. We can try it. I won't be able to sit there and be like, yes, this is number one, but I can list some of the stuff that just always gets me excited.
Yeah, it can be in no particular order. It seems fine.
Preferably in a non-sexual way.
Oh man, if it gets you excited in a sexual way, it's good food.
Kind of good? Now, so should this be a, not to get all intellectual or non-intellectual thinker, should this be purely a taste thing, or should this be a overall experience thing, or should this be like just, because there are some foods that I'm like, yes, this tastes amazing, but also like I feel bad about myself afterwards.
Like the trash can burger, the trash
No,
burger.
that's an overall experience. I feel great
Okay.
about myself. I get guaconmole in that burger, so I'm eating healthy.
Okay, there you go. It's fiber.
It's
Yep, you're good.
perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Superfood, avocado. Let's just do it. Let's just do it. Feels right.
All right.
It's better. That's the whole point of this. All right, well, I'll give you my number one, the garbage burger. Case closed. All right, your turn.
A good cheeseburger is probably going to be up in my top one or two. I don't know where it's going to go, but I won't name a specific burger, but a really good cheeseburger is definitely way up on my list. It's definitely top five.
Okay, good. Well, we can still be friends then.
Oh, good. We've got some common ground that makes me happy.
Wonderful.
I'll take the next one. I'm going to go with, I don't know if I want to say tacos or if I want to say Tex-Mex, but I think Tex-Mex is probably more accurate because I don't know what I would pick between tacos and a good burrito and a good plate of nachos. It's all kind of lumped them into one thing for me, but Tex-Mex is it's kind of my jam.
This is interesting. You're going general and I'm going specific
That's
with
true.
our foods because it's about to happen. The next one that I can't get over. There is a small place here in the Columbus area called Taqueria Guadalajara. It is one of those places where sometimes you may have to work a little bit with the person taking your order. You might have to point at the picture. It is the best, the absolute best Mexican food I've ever had. Every time I get the burrito mojado, which is what I'm going to nominate here for this one, the wet burrito. The last time I went there, it was the worst one I've ever had there. And I was still making the occasional weird noise enjoying myself. But that's how good that is. So that's one of my top five.
I guess I should probably get more specific then, because you're right. You're being very specific and I'm being very vague. So
you
I'll
can
give
be
my
vague. I'm just, for me, with my refined psychopathic palate.
True. Yeah, you're way more.
It's all about the experience and the history than it is just the food item.
Yeah, that's fair. I think my number one is going to be probably a very specific burger because I don't know where I would get this burger today. But you can find like a good black and blue bacon burger somewhere. Those are amazing. They're black in seasoning and spices, and it's got bacon, and usually it's got a sharp cheese on it, and it's got barbecue sauce. And my absolute favorite is if you dice up some jalapenos in there and you chop those up in the burger with some horseradish. That's a fantastic burger. And if you want extra bonus points, you do it with like a sharp cheddar and you actually crumble up the cheddar and you mix it into the meat so it kind of melts on the inside of the burger as you cook it. That's a good one too. But I'm going to go with that. I'm going with a good black and blue bacon burger. That's going to be a good one for me.
See, we got some of your actual personality in that one.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So this is not a cliche. This is not pandering. This is not I'm in trouble and I'm trying to fix it. I'm going to nominate something my wife does because it really, honest to goodness, is one of my top five, I guess, / top whatevers.
Two of mine are going to be recipes of my mom's. So that's already locked up in my mind. So
that's fair. And I've told her this every time. Literally every single time my wife does anything with potatoes, it's the best. I'm not being sarcastic. I mean, if she makes fries, I would put them up against any fries out there from any restaurant anywhere ever. She does a thing where she slices them long ways and she puts cheese on top of some, like, you know, she'll mix like a cheddar or Monterey Jack or whatever. And then she does others where she puts some feta cheese on, Bulgarian feta, not like the Greek feta where it has a little bit more of that like oomph to it. And then some of like cheddar cheese over top of that. So good. She came up with this garlic fries recipe just sort of on a whim a couple weeks ago, I think it was. And the best potato I've ever had in my life, probably. I could not get enough of it. So every time I see her firing up anything with potatoes, I get really excited. I get irrationally excited because I know it's going to be one of the best things ever. And I lucked out. I'll count it as one of God's blessings for me that I have that. So that's one of my top five because I can't get enough of it.
I'm going to go and specify a burrito because I just said burritos and Tex-Mex. I'm going to go ahead and give them a more specific burrito so I can keep dialing in a little closer. And then I'll give my number three, I guess. I love a great chicken burrito that's seasoned with like authentic Mexican seasonings, has the guacamole, has the fresh vegetables, has a little bit of rice, has the black beans, some kind of a green sauce with some heat to it. I love that I can eat something like that has like 1,200 calories. And Amigos in downtown Westerly makes a really good burrito. I love that I can eat one of those suckers that's like 1200 freaking calories in it, and I can feel like it's healthy afterward. It's so fresh and it's just flavorful, and I can taste the vegetables as well as the chicken, as well as the black beans. And when I'm done eating that some bitch, I don't feel guilty about it. Love a good burrito. Amigos in downtown Westerly. You might have the best one in the area.
And I'm going to assume that's not because your body ejects 1,000 of those calories within an hour afterwards.
Absolutely correct. Nope, my body
Okay,
hangs on
good.
to it and clings to it.
Okay,
It's the good stuff. It all goes to use, like a buffalo and Native American times.
great.
Yep, we use every
Perfect.
part of the burrito, damn it. And I think since you went with your wife's recipe, I'm going to go with a very basic, very simple one from my mom's that honestly might be my favorite thing to eat of all time. My mom makes a very basic but delicious chicken salad. She goes light on the mayonnaise, shreds the chicken very fine, goes light on the mayonnaise, and then she dices up grapes very fine, red grapes, and mixes it in. And there's something about that sweetness that is absolutely perfect to chicken salad and sets it apart from anything else. And it's, again, you can eat it however much you want. You don't feel guilty. As long as you're out of the mayonnaise, you don't feel bad afterward. And it's probably my favorite thing on the planet to eat. If I was on death row and I was going to pick my final meal, that would be on the plate. As well as my next item is all another one of my mom's recipes. That would be on the plate too. But yeah, 100% going with mom's chicken salad and the red grapes.
Okay. My number four. I guess we'll now have done four each.
I've
I
only
haven't
done
had
three
it.
technically, so this would be
Oh,
four for
okay,
me.
fine. Okay. I haven't had this in a long time, and it's not per se one of my top five like favorites of all time, but it's one of those unique things that I always enjoy because it's good and you can't get it anywhere else. The chicken finger BLT at Rusty Bucket. It's a restaurant around here. It's just very, very good. They lettuce, mayo, I think some sort of like some sort of cheese, and then just the way they do their chicken fingers, it's a very like kind of light, like crunchy kind of breading. They just make a sandwich out of it, cut it in half, stick some toothpicks in there, and it's just really good. And you don't really get this kind of thing hardly anywhere else, and it's one of those every time I go there, I order it. And when I think about my favorite foods, I think about how I always liked that. It's just different and unique. That's my number four. And then my number five. There is, and this is going to be reaching a little bit. There is a place. This is more calling out the place because I've always just enjoyed myself there. In the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, it is called, or excuse me, I'm sorry, false. We always go to this place when we're in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, but it's actually just over the border in Wisconsin. It's called TNT Steakhouse. And, kind of a little just place along the highway, literally a block away from the bridge between Wisconsin and Michigan. And they're always jam-packed. Even when you walk in and get a reservation, you're waiting like an hour to get your table. They do big steaks. They do a lot of like, gnocchi and Italian food. And just every time I go there, I just get like a prime rib and some sort of like pasta-ish appetizer. Their cheese curds are some of the best cheese curds I've ever had. So I'm kind of pulling their cheese curds out of all of this and just saying that I have never had a bad time there ever for going there over half a dozen times now. So I'm going to kind of use them as my top five. The thing that they do. And this is the reason it's in my top five is because of an experience I had as a much younger male. They used to serve a 24-ounce, like I think it was a porterhouse steak with a salad with two sides. And they used to bet each other apparently on the side if whoever was doing it, if they couldn't do it or not. And I was one of the people who did it. And then finished my dad's side. So,
It wasn't enough for 24 hours.
no,
A pound and a half of beef was not enough.
I try to explain to people how much I ate in my late teenage and early 20 years. It's the cliche, like teenage boy eats a lot. I ate probably twice as much as other teenage boys, as it turns out. I was out eating, 300-pound full grown men by the time I was 15. So yeah, it was very yummy, very delicious.
Number four for me is my mother's zucchini bread. And I say it's number four. It's the fourth one I'm mentioning. It's not really in any order, honestly. Zucchini bread might be my favorite on the whole list. I don't know. It's very close. But my mom makes a fantastic zucchini bread. I think it was her mother's recipe. And it's just the best part of any holiday. It's my favorite. It's just amazing. So props to mom. Thanks for that one. Love the zucchini bread. Number five is hard. Like, I was sitting here thinking about and trying to make notes, and I wrote down like five things I wanted to list as my fifth favorite. Like, if we're only putting five of these things in here, steak tips, scallops, soppressata, and all these things kind of clicking in that I want to list. But I'm going to go with something that's kind of nostalgic that just makes me feel good every time I have it. And it's very basic and it's not anything fancy. It's my wife's tuna noodle casserole. It was something that we ate a lot of when we had no money. And when we were, on a budget all the time and kind of scraping by, and it's delicious. I was never a tuna fish fan. I've never in my life really been a big tuna fish fan, but it's sensational and delicious and amazing and filling and affordable and on a budget. And every single time it's made, I just get that good feeling. I just get that nostalgic good. And I love that. It's kind of nice. So we're gonna go with that one over scallops, over steak. My wife's gonna be upset if she hears this. What do you mean, tuna noodle casserole over scallops? You're a dumbass.
And I'm the reverse. My wife made a shrimp pasta just the other day that was truly exceptional. And again, yes, I'm a supportive husband, and I will brag about my wife whether you like it or not. But
Don't like it, Doug. Don't do it. It's not
well,
allowed.
too bad
I
you're going to hear it,
disapprove.
you son of a bitch. But you want to know how exceptional this was when the 5-year-old cannot get enough of it,
That's a good
because
metric, yeah.
right, it was truly exceptional. It was the best pasta seafood combo I've had in maybe ever, but certainly in the last like 15, 20 years for sure. I don't think I've never had anything that tasted like that. And here's the thing, it wasn't like, see here, now I'm going to stick my foot in my mouth for my wife listening. It wasn't anything special, like from the ingredients. It was just a bag of frozen shrimp and spices off the spice rack and a box of angel hair pasta.
But she cooked it with
And
love.
there was more in love in there.
Know,
Might be addicted. All right,
do
good.
you like sushi?
Yes.
When you come out this way, and I know we've kind of got that date lined up, maybe you come down a little closer to us because my
We will be.
favorite. Well, I know where you're going to be, but I think maybe you come even closer. I think we're going to meet you halfway initially. Maybe you just come all the way down here,
I'm
and
pretty
there's
sure the
a.
route takes us like 5 minutes away from you or 10 minutes away from you.
Yeah, that makes sense actually from where you're coming. So we
Because
will have to go to a
it's
place.
dragging us straight across 80-90, like through Pennsylvania, essentially.
I'll have to
And
look at the
then,
route.
well,
But yeah,
whatever.
you really can't get where you're going without driving right by us because you're going to end up finishing on 95, and that means you're
Right.
driving within a mile of my house.
Yeah.
So we will have to go to Mystic, Connecticut while you're here and go to
Okay.
Johnny's Peking, Tokyo. They make the best sushi probably in all of Connecticut and Rhode Island. And I feel very comfortable casting that net. But they make
Wow.
something called the dancing scallop roll that is my favorite sushi roll of all time.
You just said
And
casting that net while you were talking about fish. Good
I
for you.
did. I'm good for that.
Yes.
I'm really
Yes.
good at that stuff.
Yeah.
It's almost like I have a podcast where we tell dad jokes and embarrass ourselves on a regular basis.
No, that's not it.
No, that's probably not it. No. But yes, we'll go to Johnny's Peking Tokyo. Free plug for them. The dancing scallop roll is my all-time favorite. And they make a sushi pizza that will absolutely blow your mind and tickle your palate in funny ways that you will never get over. You will want to make the trip back out here again for the sushi pizza. Like, no joke, it's amazing. And it's one of those things you eat it and you don't feel guilty. You eat it and you're like, that was so fresh and so light and delicious. I could just have another one and another one and another one.
That sentence alone, taken out of context, could be really bad.
Yeah, it probably could be, but
It
that's,
could be, but luckily we're just talking about fish.
I could be a slogan for our podcast too. So,
God.
context is important.
Yeah.
All right, dad jokes.
Yeah. This is especially fresh for me right now because of what I'm editing right now
All
with
right,
my
well.
first having to move something from one episode to another. So.
That's a very unique one. We're trying to put you in that position again.
It's good.
Although
I'm just.
we are at like an hour and a half right now, so we probably should wrap this. You're not
Yeah,
killing
I'm just
yourself
going to
on
be
this one.
irrationally belligerent about anything you do with any sort of like social media that I disagree with
That's fair. I can accept that.
then.
I
Yeah,
can both
let's.
accept that and also not give a
Right.
damn, so it's fine. That
Right,
works.
perfect. All right, well, yeah, let's go to dad jokes. It'll be a good end to all this mumbo jumbo that we've been doing.
I had two dad jokes teed up, and they were both tied into the Alabama ruling on frozen embryos.
And you're going to tell them now instead of during the Alabama embryos
I'm going to tell them
discussion.
now. Well,
Okay,
there are
that's fair.
plenty. There is no shortage of jokes to make about this particular area. But I went with sort of the redneck style
This
approach, and I
private
just played
area.
off, yeah, it's a private area. I just went with the very easy, very low hanging fruit redneck stereotype Alabama kind of jokes.
Sounds tantalizing.
Let's not go there.
Not sisyphizing.
Not sisyphizing. Yeah, freaking misusing the name Sisyphus. I swear. Just, I was so angry about that. Oh, we'll talk about that one later. So, Doug,
No,
what do you call sexual perspiration in Alabama?
we won't. Tom, we have a very love-hate relationship.
We do.
And the hate part comes from where I'm emotionally preparing myself for whatever dad joke I think is coming my way. And even just the setup, I'm just like, what the fuck kind of joke is this?
You got to
So
lead with that jab. It doesn't do you any good to pepper him with a two if you can't connect with the
I
one.
know. Sexual perspiration in Alabama. Rolling Tide.
Oh.
Come on, that was kind of a good guess, though.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Let me think. Let me try it. Let me try one more time. Sexual perspiration in Alabama. Banging ham.
Oh,
It's
although
Birmingham.
that's not
Banging
bad.
ham.
Yeah, when I think about it, it's not bad. No, it's not it.
All right, what? Damn it. I didn't get another
Relative
one.
humidity.
Wow. Oh, that. I don't want to acknowledge how good that was because it feels mean.
Feel dirty.
Is like a West Virginia joke.
Yeah. Well, in all fairness, if I had planned on talking about a West Virginia state
Yeah.
court ruling, I would have made West Virginia jokes. So,
You would have done the same thing. Just replace the state.
There's a bunch
Okay,
of states that'll fit in here. It's all good.
good. All right. Well, mine, which is once again completely unrelated to everything, it was just one of the ones that I've run across recently, and I wanted to get them out there. Tom, why is sand so optimistic?
Sand so optimistic.
Yes, generally speaking.
Is it good at rolling with the tide?
An Alabama joke. What, you think I tried to connect things?
I mean, kind of fits. Life's a beach doesn't really work here. I don't know. Why is sand optimistic?
Because it has a can-do attitude.
Yeah, all right. Don't love it. Not bad. Don't love
I'm not here for you, I'm here for them.
it. That's fair.
I did have one more, but you probably won't love it either, considering I thought I picked the more clever one.
Let's get the other one. I think I'm probably gonna like it better.
You'll probably actually get it, though, which is why I didn't go with it.
Oh, that's fair.
No. When does Friday come before Thursday?
When does Friday come before Thursday?
Yes.
Gotta be like a when her foreplay is better than his kind of joke. I don't know.
In a dictionary.
Oh, that's good. I actually like that one.
Okay,
That's
fine.
better.
I should
You
have
should
gone
have
with
told
that.
that one.
I'm back here for you now.
Sorry, I have another Alabama joke for you too.
Okay, good. Hit me with it, relatively speaking.
An Alabama fifth grader gets into a fight with a
God
New
damn
York
it.
City fifth grader.
You're talking about fifth graders after that last joke. Come on.
Who wins?
Sorry, an Alabama fifth grader gets into a fight with what?
A
I
New
got
York
stuck.
City fifth grader.
A New York City fifth grader. Who wins? I mean, the literal answer is obviously the Alabama fifth grader, but I'm trying to figure out your punchline here, right?
Yeah, it's the
That's
why is the important
the.
part. But you're right. It's the Alabama fifth grader, but why? I love the look that Doug gives when he's in deep thought. His hair starts to curl and wave as if
I
being
know.
blown by a gentle
Well, the
breeze.
problem is I'm trying to run through all the boroughs and figure out what punchlines I can come up with.
I'm impressed that you know multiple boroughs in Alabama. That's impressive.
Oh, no, I'm talking about New York City.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I guess the Whig boroughs are
I
one of
was going to
them.
say something about how, in light of our conversation recently, that the because the New York City kid is a Queens,
Yeah, no, it's not
but
it.
it's not anything like that, is it?
No, nothing like that.
Because the Manhattan Project blew it up ahead of time. See, I don't know. I don't know. Just tell me. Just please stop this. Make my face go normal again.
Because the Alabama fifth grader is 18 years old.
Yeah. I don't like that one. It's not
Oh, I'm glad
that
I led with the other one then.
funny. Good, right? Perfect.
Right, I think we're good. I think this has been long enough. I think we've tortured other people enough.
If you've listened to this point, good for you. Or also, why do you hate yourself?
I feel like our top five food went way too long. We should have found a way to be short and sweet about
I could do that. I could just like put in a little dub that says three, our top three food.
that. Thank you everyone for listening. We have got so many more listens than I anticipated. I don't know what Doug expected, but I thought this would take a much longer time to have enough listeners that people are actually reaching out to me and talking to me and accusing me of being some hard right
I was
fascist.
gonna
And
say,
like, I didn't expect to be at this point for, at least a year. So
next
thank you
time
to
you
those
ship
of
in, like,
you.
you got the wrong guy. It's the
Right.
other one.
I'm gonna lean into it next time and see if I can mess with her because I'll see her again in probably a week or two, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But no, I'm gonna lean into it. But thank you guys. It's really awesome that we have support like this, that I had people sharing it and people, kind of promoting it for me, and I'm sure Doug does too. But it's really nice that I've got people kind of trying to help us grow and help get the word out. We're having a good time with this. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but I'm enjoying it, and I'm glad other people are enjoying it. It's nice to know that we have something to offer that people are finding at least a little valuable, in my opinion. So thank you for listening. Comment, like, review, subscribe. Visit our store for some merch. Find us on Podbean and check out some merch. We've got stuff that by now should have dropped. We're recording this on February 21st. By the time you listen to this, we should have more merch up there than we currently have. So take a look, rep our stuff, and thank you again for listening. We really appreciate it.
Do we have a Patreon now?
By now, we will definitely have a
We
Patreon.
should
That's a great
probably
point.
plug our Patreon
I feel like we're going to
because
record something and add it to episodes once we have that, but we probably should be plugging
maybe
Patreon.
because the last time we did this, we waited like 14 episodes to be like, hey, you should like us.
Yeah, that's true.
So we have a Patreon. Tom is much better at this spiel than I am, both fortunately and unfortunately. But as we've mentioned, both on this episode and previous ones, we do want to start turning this into a real, actual, substantive thing. It's not just us talking. This is us actually trying to bring a little bit back in the world. We have grand designs to do things like local club discounts and, gas cards or other little pick-me-ups for dads and just families out there in general. What we're looking for is, if you like the show, if you like what we're about, if you just want to feel like you're actually doing something that'll get back to helping just some other family somewhere, we're asking for what essentially is a cup of coffee once a month, $3 a month, just to get it on the Patreon. And we're doing some just extra stuff on there. We'll be having exclusive merchandise, maybe a special design, maybe a special giveaway, just things like that to help make that part of the thank you for giving to us so that we can give back to everybody else. So we just ask that you take a look and just know that it's only $3, but it could turn into something that really helps somebody else out. That's what we're looking to turn this into, and we want to start getting those wheels rolling.
And if you have ideas that you'd like to contribute, what you want out of a Patreon, we've got a bunch of thoughts right now. We've got a bunch of things that hopefully by the time you're hearing this, we've kicked in. Once we hit certain thresholds, I'd love to raffle away certain merchandise and certain things for our patrons. I would love to do a live stream with people who want to do a live stream. We pick someone who's a patron and kind of do a live stream with them and get some FaceTime and see how we can help them. There's a lot of things I would like to do, added video content and bonus audio content. There's a lot that we're planning to add, but if you've got ideas, if you've got podcasts that you listen to that you like what they give you for the Patreon, let us know. We are very open to advice. We love to hear good thoughts. Neither one of us is great at reinventing the wheel, and we would love for you to save us some time, energy, and work. That'd be great. So go ahead and do that. Let us know.
What's a wheel?
It's one of those things that makes heavy things move.
Oh, what's a heavy thing?
Me, I'm a heavy thing.
You're right, me too. All right. Thank you for listening again. Catch you next time, all you lovely Felicias out there.
Go, Dad, go.
Go, Dad, go.
Thanks for listening, guys.